Good morning. This meeting of the House Education Committee will now please come to order. Today is Friday, April 12, 2019, and the time is 8:02 a.m. Members of House Education present are Representative Co-Chair Andy Story, Representative Greyer Hopkins, Representative Chris Tuck, Representative Josh Rivak, and myself, Co-Chair Representative Harriet Drummond. We have a quorum to conduct business. Before we begin, I'd like to remind everyone to please silence their cell phones. Today, our recording secretary is Selman Holland, and Eric Heibigner is our LIO moderator assisting with tech and teleconferencing support. Thank you both. Today on the agenda, we have the governor's appointments to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission, followed by Tiffany Scott, appointee to the reappointed to the Alaska Board of Education and Early Development. First up, we have Janine Todd calling in from Delta Junction. Janine is a teacher and will need to get back to her class shortly, so I hope we can be as timely as possible with her hearing. Good morning, Ms. Todd.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. Welcome. Please put your name and affiliation on the record and talk to us about why you'd like to serve on the Professional Teaching Practices Commission.
Okay, so my name is Janine Todd, and I teach third grade in Delta Junction at Delta Elementary School, and I'm hoping to be confirmed for the PTPC Commission.
Okay, great.
So I have just one more thing to tell you. I've been sequestered to our server room, so I hope that there's not a lot of background static, but our school is pretty packed for space. So, like I said, my name is Janine Todd, and this summer my husband and I will celebrate our 40th wedding anniversary. We have one incredible daughter, an amazing son-in-law, and an adorable redheaded granddaughter. I graduated from Virginia Tech with a BA in elementary education in 1981, and after several moves, in 1989, we moved to Fort Greeley, Alaska, courtesy of the U.S. Army. I've been teaching in Alaska for 28 years. This May, I will complete my 33rd year as a teacher. As a member of our local teachers union my whole career, and as a longtime teacher, I've been called upon many times by my peers to participate in various disciplinary meetings. Some of those meetings have led to disciplinary action, and some have had no repercussions. I've been privileged to serve and help my teaching cadre my whole teaching career. And although I feel it's heartbreaking to think about a teacher having their certificate revoked or temporarily suspended, people make mistakes, and it's critical that every teacher's actions be measured against the standards of the Code of Ethics. I believe that I can look at the facts represented in a case and then make the hard decisions, if necessary, for the protection of our students and staff and for our profession. I was appointed to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission in June to finish out the term of a retiring teacher. I've attended the two scheduled meetings so far, and I was also privileged to attend and receive training at the National Association of State Directors of Teachers of Education and Certification Professional Practices, which is a giant acronym, NASTEC, in Maine in October.
Are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes. You just dropped off suddenly.
Okay.
Continue.
Oh, I'm sorry. So as a new member, I have so much to learn, but I do have a goal, and my goal would be to make the work and the purpose of the PTPC Commission known to all educators. As I've traveled about the state in various positions, a lot of teachers don't even know what PTPC is or does. And when teachers do think of the PTPC, they often think of the word in a negative light, and I would like them to think of us as advocates for our profession, not just the police of our profession. So if you have any more questions, I'm more than willing.
Thank you, Ms. Todd. Let me open it up to questions from the committee. Representative Story.
Yes, in your we have a packet here, and in it is your application for the committee. And I was reading it, and you had spoken to the state board and had given testimony as an advocate for the Alaska Education Challenge. And one of the things you spoke about was, and I'm quoting from your paper, was to address the fallacy that test scores are the most effective and true measure of student success. I was wondering if you could share with us some of what you felt as a teacher was the most effective ways to measure student success.
So I truly, up front, I have no problem with testing. The problem I have with testing is that sometimes it becomes the complete measure of a child. And I truly believe that when you work with students and you watch their hands-on activities and that, and you can observe their thinking processes, that's how you measure a child and their successes. Because not all students test well, and some students just don't understand how to even take a test. So to me, rather than label a child something based on a test, it's better to spend time with them and actually watch them as they work through problem-solving activities.
Follow-up, Representative Story.
Thank you for sharing that. And when you're when you've served on the commission, it sounded like you heard a couple of cases this summer.
No, actually, I've only been to two meetings since being appointed, and I haven't been actually to a hearing, but I have been at the meetings where after Executive Director Mann has done the investigations, it's that the cases have been brought to us to confirm her decision or to make a different decision on what she thought should be the outcome of a case. So I haven't been to an actual hearing. I've just been privy to helping make the decisions after the investigations are completed.
Okay, so thank you for sharing that.
Okay, any other questions from other members? I see no other questions from other members, Ms. Todd, but I will ask. I have a couple for you. So the commission doesn't meet on a regular basis. It only meets when there is a case to consider?
No, ma'am. We have scheduled meetings. This year we had three scheduled meetings, and the amount of work that happens at those meetings is based on how much work would be brought to us. So, for example, we have scheduled two-day meetings three times a year, and this year we've been able to get our work done at one-day meetings. And so at the end of this month, we're going to have, on the 25th, I believe, we're going to have a one-day meeting to go over things that Executive Director Mann brings to us. So they're scheduled. We only have three a year unless something comes up and we get called in to service.
Okay, so those meetings, because you're spread all over the state, are they telephonic or in person?
They are face-to-face.
Okay.
That I've attended so far.
Okay. All right, great. You have a most impressive resume. I want to make sure you get back to your students today, and I really appreciate your service to Alaska and to the teaching profession. Ms. Todd, thank you very much for calling in today.
Oh, thank you so much to all of you, and thank you for letting me go back to my classroom.
Great. Enjoy. All right. Have a great
day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay. Oh, thank you. Bye.
Thank you. I'd like to note that Representative Zolkowski has joined us. Next up, we have Chris Reitan from the Craig City School District. Mr. Reitan, please correct me if I'm pronouncing your name wrong.
Good morning. My name is Chris Reitan, and I'm the superintendent with Craig City School District.
All right. Great. Mr. Reitan, if you would just talk to the committee a little bit about why you'd like to serve on the Professional Teaching Practices Commission.
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity. Number one, I think I bring a unique background to the commission. I have over 21 years of administrative experience in the state, ranging from assistant principal, assistant superintendent. I'm in my eighth year as a superintendent within the state, and during those duties with those different administrative responsibilities, investigations, due process with student and staff issues were a regular part of these responsibilities. I have a wealth of experience looking at how federal and state laws influence board policy and negotiated agreements, particularly when it comes to student issues and personnel issues. And I'm really excited for the opportunity to collaborate with professionals from across the state, just looking for ways to foster and support our public education system, and make sure that we're holding all of ourselves accountable to the highest standards of conduct so that we have the best public education system within our United States. A key goal here in the previous, Janine Todd spoke to it, is I think advocacy and communication. When you look at any organization, communication tends to be always hit upon as an area of improvement. And with the commission, I think that's also an area of improvement in regards to how we as committee members can support the roles and responsibilities of the commission and advocate more proactively with our state education agencies so people have a better sense of who and what we're about and how we play a critical role in just serving the entire public education system.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Raitan. Questions from the committee? Representative Tuck, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and thank you, Chris, for calling in today and sharing with us your history. Real quick, when I look at some of the actions that have resulted in sanctions, some of these now I'm guessing that some of these sanctions might be just people losing their teacher certificates, but some of these from sexual misconduct with a student. Serious criminal conduct. And I look at some of these misuse of sick leave, theft of school property, which I believe is a violation of law. And falsification applications. Looks like a lot of that stuff can be handled within the school district, as management-wise. So how do you differentiate between those that can be handled in-house and those that can that should be coming in front of the Professional Teaching Practices Commission?
Thank you, through the chair. Well, number one, they should all be held or work through at the local level first. But we also, as school districts, have a responsibility that when there's serious potential infractions, to share that with the Professional Teaching Practices Commission so that they're aware. Generally, the investigations take place at the local level, and then that is, if necessary, and things need to move forward to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission, that information is shared with the commission for other potential sanctions when it comes to any kind of conduct against the certification of potential people.
Okay, follow up, Madam Chair?
Follow up, Representative Tuck.
So, for example, with the misuse of sick leave, does that automatically go in front of the commission, or does someone have to complain? In other words, someone is abusing sick leave, they handle it in-house, does that necessarily take it to the commission, or under what conditions would it go to the commission? Or do all of them go to the commission? I'm just trying to figure out when it happens and when it doesn't happen.
Thank you. Through the chair. That would be up to the district or anyone within the district making that complaint to the commission. My practice has been in the past that if there are serious issues that could potentially influence a certification of an employee, that information has been shared with the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. However, my practice has been let them know that this is going on, it's an ongoing issue, and then at the end, when it's concluded at the local level, to share what's appropriate with the commission.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Tuck. Any other questions? Representative Story.
Yes, I appreciate that you're agree with the first member who testified today about the importance of informing the members in the teaching profession about the commission and how it is there to help advocate in a positive way. What sort of things do you feel are important for the profession to know?
Thank you, through the chair, Representative Story. But number one, I think key pieces that was spoken to by the Jeanine Todd was a good majority of our professional educators aren't real clear on what the commission's roles and responsibilities are. And I think that's been shame on us, you know, in regards to getting out ahead of these things, being connected to the different professional organizations at their meetings so that we're always there, that we are sharing our responsibilities, how we can connect with the different professional organizations within the state and support their work. And In my mind, it's relatively easy to say to do that really well. It's a lot more work to do it in a very proactive and strategic way. But I think there's just a little bit of misunderstanding about what the role of the commission is and our responsibility to ensure that we have the highest ethical standards amongst all of our educational professionals within the state.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any other questions? Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And if you don't mind, Mr. Wrighton, when you were superintendent in all your roles of management, did you ever have to turn in teachers to this Professional Teaching Practices Commission?
Through the chair, Representative Tuck, there was never a time in my history where the Professional Teaching Practices Commission had to take over and do their own investigation. However, there's been a number of instances where I have shared our work with the Professional Teaching Practices Commission if it ever came to that point. So when there were serious issues in the districts that I've worked with where potential certification could arise based on where the investigation went, I always was very proactive in informing the commission. However, in my role, the commission hasn't taken any determination with that.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Wrighton, for your service. I appreciate your long service in Galena. We know superintendents don't tend to last very long in their positions, and I appreciate your broad experience around the state. Thanks for your service, and you may go about your business today. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you this morning. Have a great day.
You bet. Thanks. All right. The final commission appointee is Tammy Van Wy of Juneau. Ms. Van Wy, are you on the phone with us?
I am. Good morning.
Yes. Good morning. If you would let us know why you want to serve on the Professional Teaching Practices Commission, I would appreciate hearing that.
All right. Well, first of all, good morning, Chair Drummond and members of the House Education Committee. For the record, my name is Pamela Van Wy. I'm honored to come before you this morning as the Department of Education and Early Development representative on the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. I do apologize, even though I work in Juneau, I apologize for not being there in person this morning. I've been in Anchorage this week where the staff at DEE just wrapped up the department's spring technical assistance workshop attended by about 100 Alaskan educators. One of the seats on the 9-member commission is to be held by a representative of the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development, and Commissioner Johnson has designated me as that representative. I'm very pleased to serve as PTPC activities align with Teach to Quality, which is within the Educator and School Excellence Division here at DEED, and I'm the director of that particular division. In addition, I'm going from the testimony I prepared, and this is that section. I'm absolutely passionate about educator quality, and the Professional Teaching Practices Commission does play a very important role in ensuring that the educators currently in service to Alaska students and who are interacting with Alaska students on a daily basis are committed to ethical behavior, and that there's a very clear path for investigation and, if necessary, consequences when ethical lines are crossed or when contractual agreements have been broken.
All right, any questions for the applicant? Representative Story, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for your willingness to serve. I agree with you that it's so important that teachers, well, we know teachers are put in the highest trust level by families, and we know that nothing's more important than knowing our child is safe and that their teacher is using the highest ethical behavior with them. So I was looking at, we have a past handout of the number of sanctions that have been given out over various years here. I don't know if you're familiar with that at all, but I see that sanctions are small, which is good. I was wondering if, at what point does the commission report to the public so that they are aware that this exists, that everything is taken very seriously when it rises to a level where the district hasn't handled it This commission is there. So parents can reach out if they're ever concerned or have questions, and just the general public.
Mm-hmm. Through the chair, Representative Story, I have not yet participated in my first PTPC commission meeting, but I do know from my work in the school district as a superintendent and as a district office administrator that if that's three or four times a year, a publication comes out from PTPC, and it does have the list of a list similar to the one provided to you by Executive Director Melody Mann, and it lists a number of complaints, and then it does list sanctions, and it provides information on certificates that may have been revoked and reasons. So that's the point at which, from my understanding, that the public becomes aware of any sanctions that may have.
Follow up, Representative Story.
Would you agree with the first two candidates that teachers are not as aware of what the commission does and the need for it to be advertised more and talking about the positive things it can do for teachers?
Through the chair, Representative Story, yes, I would agree. In fact, as a school district employee for many years, I was, especially as a teacher, I was only vaguely familiar with the PTPC. When the newsletters would come out, it would kind of flash across the screen because there was something that would arrive in my school mailbox. As a district administrator, I did have to participate in some investigations related to situations that occurred in the school district, and that's when I became much more familiar with the processes of PTPC, and it became very aware to me at that point that teachers didn't have the level of awareness or understanding that it would be better if they did, so that they were fully aware, of that code of ethics is a very real thing. It's not just a piece of paper, and there are consequences if the code of ethics is not taken seriously.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions for the candidate? All right, thank you very much, Ms. Van Wy, and I'm sorry I called you Tammy initially. I had something else written on my script. I appreciate your service to the many school communities around the state in your time in Alaska, and welcome to the department, and I look forward to meeting you one of these days.
All right, and I go by Tammy, so that's just fine. Thank
okay,
you,
great.
Representative.
Great. Thank you very much. Have a great day. Mm-hmm. All right. Representative Story. Unless anyone has further comments. No, go ahead.
Your name, Madam Chair.
Representative Tuck, go ahead.
Are we going to do all of them all at the same time?
These are the three appointees to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. The fourth appointee is to the State Board of Education.
Okay, thank you, Madam
so
Chair.
So we're passing on the three now.
Can I wait for Josh to come back?
No, you're right.
You can sign it later.
Okay. The Education Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointees to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission and recommends that Janine Todd, Chris Tan, and Tammy Van Nguyen should be forwarded for consideration by a joint session of the legislature. This does not reflect intent by any of the members to vote for or against these individuals during any further sessions for the purposes of confirmation.
Thank you, Representative Story. We'll take a brief at ease while we sign the paperwork. Back on the record. Next up, we have Tiffany Scott of the Alaska Board of Education and Early Development. Ms. Scott, are you on the phone with us?
Madam Co-Chair Drummond, Madam Co-Chair Story, and members of the committee. For the record, my Inupiaq name is Nipisan. My English name is Tiffany Scott. I'm from Kotzebue, but my family also comes from Norvik. I want to extend my thanks to the committee for allowing me an opportunity to reschedule my hearing for today, as I was working on Wednesday. This is the second time in 1 year that I'm coming before you in a confirmation hearing. Last year, former Governor Bill Walker appointed me to represent the 2nd Judicial District on the State Board of Education and Early Development after a board vacancy. Governor Michael J. Dunleavy has reappointed me to the same seat for a 5-year term, subject to confirmation by the House and Senate. I'm humbled by the opportunity to come before the committee again. I'm a registered nurse in the emergency department at the Manilik Health Center in Kotzebue, which serves 12 federally recognized tribes in the Northwest Arctic and the village of Tikigaq, Point Hope. I'm a proud graduate of the class of 2003 at Colony High School in Palmer. The school is nursing at the University of Alaska Anchorage, the Alaska Technical Center in Kotzebue, and hold a Bachelor of Liberal Arts from Harvard University Extension School in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I've offered mine and my family's time and service to community as a former member of the Mat-Su Borough School Board, Mount Edgecombe High School Advisory Board, the Caleb Scholars Steering Committee, and the Northwest Arctic Borough School District Strategic Planning Committee. It is my hope that bringing my perspective as a rural resident, nurse, and community volunteer will add to the work that the board is doing. The board has highly qualified members who are leaders in special education, indigenous education, school counseling, serving underrepresented students in post-secondary education, athletics, and education policy. Each of these perspectives helps move the needle forward on the 3 commitments of Alaska's Education Challenge: increase student success, support responsible and reflective learners, and cultivate safety and well-being. As it relates to what I hope to accomplish on the board, I will point to the strategic plan for Alaska's Education Challenge. Through our collective work, I hope to support the 5 positive trajectories of the AUC. 1, support all students to read at grade level by the end of 3rd grade. 2, increase career, technical, and culturally relevant education to meet student and workforce needs. 3, close the achievement gap by ensuring equitable educational rigor and resources. 4, prepare, attract, and retain effective education professionals. 5, improve the safety and well-being of students through school partnerships with families, communities, and tribes. For me, this is personal. The area I've been appointed to represent faces some of the most difficult social challenges in our state through high rates of suicide, sexual assault, and domestic violence. But we are resilient people. In this new day of what we call walking into the world, education will help us adapt to the changing environments around us and overcome the challenges that threaten the promise of our youth. We work together. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Scott. Questions for the applicant? Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, Tiffany. Thanks for being here. We had a couple of board appointees discuss standing in solidarity against taking any action on the budget proposal. Are you also standing in unity against taking any action, formal action on it?
I stand behind the State Board of Education's commitment to Alaska's Education Challenge. And, you know, in our letter it said that whether our budget, you know, increases or decreases or remains the same, it won't change our resolve to use, you know, the resources allocated to the districts to fulfill, you know, the 3 commitments that we've made to Alaska's youth through the AEC.
Follow up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate your commitment to the challenge. What about the budgeting process?
I think that as a board, through the events that occurred this spring, at least for myself personally, we would, you know, through the statute, I would be, you know, more assertive in, you know, being engaged in the budget that's prepared. I think that the governor's proposed budget, it would be hard-pressed for anybody in education to get behind a budget that looks the way that it does. So I look forward to the Senate reviewing the budget that the House has sent over and the conference committee deliberations.
Okay, if I may, Madam
Follow
Chair.
Up, Mr. Tuck.
And what I'm trying to understand or trying to get to is making sure that you understand your role and responsibility and authority for the preparation and execution of the budget. We rely on you heavily to know what resources the Board of Education is going to require to be able to fulfill any vision, whether it's a challenge vision or others. And so, I served on the Anchorage School District School Board. I can just let you know that the school board doesn't have the ultimate authority. The municipality, the assembly members do, and the mayor. But we do propose a budget. We work very hard with the budget with our superintendent of the school district, and then that gets forwarded on. And it seems like there's a an avoidance of obligation on this Board of Education, especially standing in solidarity of doing nothing. And I just want to make sure that I just want to know from your perspective where you fit in the budgeting process.
Well, the governor released his budget on February 13th, and then the day later on February 14th, the board was asked to provide an up or down vote on a budget that was already released. So for me, it's indicated for review the appropriateness of the statute and at what point the state board comes in and offers insight into the budget development process. So that's where I stand. And most of the testimony that we heard asked the board outright to listen to the concerns of the citizens of the state and their testimony to not take up that vote that day.
A follow-up?
Follow-up, Mr. Representative Tucker. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So is the vote a ceremonious vote, or is it a symbolic vote?
Right. I think calling it symbolic, I know that there are two differing legal opinions, but every time that I leave my family and I leave my community to engage in the work of the state board, I don't feel like anything is symbolic at all. So I would hope for a more intense and engaging process with the board and the governor in the development of the budget, but also realizing that we meet in person only twice a year and hold the other two regular sessions through audio. So one of the things that we'd like to work with the administration on is getting more face time, and as such, they've proposed perhaps changing our June 6th and 7th audio meeting to an in-person meeting.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Representative Tucker.
And I hope in your request of giving more face-to-face time, you would actually put it in the budget for that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Tuck. Representative Hopkins.
Thank you, Ms. Scott, for coming and talking to us today. And your resume is chock full of dedication and volunteer efforts, so thank you for everything you do there. You mentioned the importance of culturally relevant curriculum in your opening statement, and I am a big supporter of culturally relevant curriculum and believe that it is and critical to help push that in school districts across the state. What are some of your hopes and dreams for implementing more of that culturally relevant curriculum in the coming years as you serve for the next 5 years?
All right, so my two children, they're now 8 and 7, attended our local immersion school in the KJLU South 8, and one of the things that we see standing out, pieces of their success is the incorporation of community and tribal members in education, as well as using place-based experiential learning through different field trips that they take to berry pick, to set net, fish through the ice. So I hope for a more community input, welcoming and involvement. I think that we do a good job of that in some of our schools within the Northwest Arkansas School District. So that's one of the ways that I think that we can help nurture success in our students. Culturally relevant local experience.
Follow up, Representative Hopkins.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. Are you familiar at all with the K-12 outreach program run by UA that has a culturally relevant office there, and any of the work that they do?
No, I'm not. I'm more familiar with the Alaska Humanities Forum and the work that they do with educators.
Thank you very much. I'll see if I can get them to get in touch with you. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Representative Story.
Yes. I see many different policymakers involved in our children's education. I see it from our elected school board level, to our superintendents, to the university system, and our teachers and support staff. What do you see as the role of the Alaska Board of Education in getting input from these groups, working with these groups to help shape and, you know, elevate education, quality education for our students? What do you see as the role of the board?
So through Alaska's Education Challenge and the hundreds of Alaskans through various stakeholder groups descending to meet, you know, with one another to discuss, you know, the positive trajectories that we'd like for the state to go and make through educational growth. I see the role of the state board as taking all of the feedback, the data, the ideas from the strategic plan and finding ways, maybe through committee, in aligning with our five positive trajectories to put forward action plans. So that's where I see the role of the state board.
Follow-up, Representative Story?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think that's good. I also would encourage any meetings, times together, when you have your board meetings during the year, inviting any of those groups to attend at different times and share what they're doing and looking for possible collaboration, possible ideas in going forward in your you know, work to be good advocates for kids and help put the direction that the policymakers levels that we're all working together. And I left out the legislature. We're more our mandate is to maintain a system of public schools. And I think, and I would say, what do you feel the role of the board is in working with the legislature?
I know that we provide an annual report to the legislature, but one of the things that I find valuable in my time on the state board is the opportunity to interface, you know, in person when we're there for our meetings in Juneau to meet with legislators in office to go over priorities, concerns, ways that we can help one another. So I see that open lines of communication between the state board and our legislators is kind of being a helpful way forward as we try to improve educational outcomes for our students in an exchange of ideas.
Follow-up, Representative Story.
Yeah, thank you. I guess I just feel an urgency for all of us to be working together more, getting input from one another so our actions reflect we do have a big challenge ahead of us right now. So to me, the closer, the better information that we can get is very helpful. So I look forward to a good relationship and a lot of communication between policymakers.
Thank you, Representative Story. Ms. Scott, this is Representative Drummond. Here at the Education Committee table is represented about 30 years of local school board experience between Representative Tuck, Representative Story, and myself. And I can tell you, as a member of the Anchorage School Board, we started developing our budget in September for spring passage by the school board, presentation to the public, and then passing on to the municipal assembly for final approval. I know you were appointed last. What month were you appointed last spring?
February 2018.
So at that point, Governor Walker had already submitted his budget. I would hope. So obviously, you didn't have any opportunity to have input on the development of that budget. I do recall that we had a really gratifying face-to-face meeting with the State Board of Education members last spring, and I agree with you, that's very important for us to make that connection. But I would hope that as a member of the State Board, you would ask the administration and the commissioner to work with you on developing an appropriate budget with plenty of time for consideration of all of the complex factors it takes to deliver education in the state of Alaska. I don't think any of us have ever faced a budget situation like this one, so I think it's extremely important for all of us to stay on top of it. Personally, I thought I heard you say that you served on the Mount Edgecombe, was it Advisory Council?
Yes, the Mount Edgecombe High School Advisory Board. There's a seat made available to for one appointed member of the State Board of Education to that board.
Okay, so you have been able, that's the one thing that I find odd about the State Board of Education is that it is the board for the Mount Edgecombe High School, the state boarding school, while all the rest of the schools in the state are overseen by their local boards of education. I'm glad you had that, you have that opportunity. Have you visited Mount Edgecombe?
I have, yes. We held our second in-person state board meeting there in September. So I spent 3 days in Sitka, and our meetings were held on campus out in Mount Edgecombe.
Okay. Do you feel that as a, well, you're the appointed member to serve on the Mount Edgecombe Council. Do you feel that the State Board of Education has sufficient opportunity to manage to govern the affairs of that school?
I think the State Board really takes what the opinions are, the work of the Advisory Board, as you know, kind of the say here, and they you work very well with the Advisory Board and the superintendent.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Representative Zolkowski has a question for you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Ms. Scott, for joining us this morning. It was great to meet you last session when you came down to Juneau. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about, of course, your resume and your credentials and your experience are quite impressive. As a mom of two young children living and working in rural Alaska, can you talk a bit about your position in supporting Head Start or pre-K early learning opportunities throughout Alaska?
Sure. I think that, you know, something that has always been, I come from a long line of educators and my family, and something that we've had drilled into us is the importance of early literacy and parents reading to children even when they're in the womb, and that we know that children with an early basic knowledge of reading, you know, taking this from AEC, are more likely than their peers to experience later academic success, attain higher levels of education, and secure employment. So I definitely understand the importance of Head Start, children being exposed to, you know, reading from an early age and what that does for their vocabulary as, you know, time marches on. And especially in our area, see the value in early access to things like pre-K. We do half-day pre-K here in the Northwest Arctic Borough.
Follow-up?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Zolkowski. Any additional questions for Ms. Scott? Okay. Seeing none, thank you so much, Ms. Scott, for joining us this morning. Appreciate your participation and your service to the state of Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Any further questions or comments before we wrap this up? All right. If members have no further comments, Representative Stewart.
The Education Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointee to the Alaska Board of Education and Early Development and recommends that Tiffany Scott should be forwarded for consideration by a joint session of the legislature. This does not reflect intent by any of the members to vote for or against this individual during any further sessions for the purposes of confirmation.
Thank you, Representative Story. We will sign the paperwork after we adjourn. The next House Education Committee meeting is scheduled for Monday, April 15th, 2019, where we will hear a presentation from the Institute of Social and Economic Research on why is education so costly in Alaska. With that, we are adjourned at 8:47 a.m.